Hey, St. Andrew's family, welcome back to How the Sausage is Made. I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Ethan.
And we are coming back at you. We are now firmly entrenched in Summer of Psalms.
We're in it, man.
Yeah, and I really was tempted to call it the Summer of Psalms Sermon Series and put the P.S. in front of every one of those. That got to be a little much. Somebody talked some sense to me. Her name might have been Ann. Might have been married to her, so...
we could do the St. Andrew's PSD.
Oh man, that's really funny. St. Andrew's. Gosh, I'm actually kind of regretting that we didn't do that. I don't think anybody else regrets it. I think other people don't care as much as we do about this. Okay. All right. Well, that's about all we have today.
Have a great day.
You had a great sermon on Psalm 34.
Thank you.
And here's what I was hoping was going to happen over the summer, and you kind of made it just such a reality. Was you spent just a little bit of time talking about the Hebrew and talking mm-hmm. about the fact that it's an acrostic, you know, that mm-hmm. they could go through every letter of the alphabet, and then you I love the visual you put up there from your the Stugartia, the Hebrew right. Bible that we all studied in seminary. Mm-hmm. But I love you put up there and show that they're like they actually listed in the margins, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of like markers within the printed just document that like are like specifically for the reader to be like, oh, here, this is what's happening.
Right.
But yeah. There's a lot of, if you know what to look for, which I know just a little bit of what to look for. Not
well. They say in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. I mean, you know more than the whole rest of the episodes.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Speaking of the Hebrew language, I'll just get into it. Just a little history. The Bible we have, if you notice, they're like on the Hebrew words. I'm going to show a couple of Hebrew words this week on the screen. Mm-hmm. There's dots and dashes and stuff below the letters, you know, and there's some, there's a group called the Masoretes. And as Judaism spread, they realized that they weren't teaching reading to native Hebrew speakers. Mm-hmm. So they figured they had to kind of throw them a bone. Like, we actually need to tell you what the vowels are because the Hebrews have vowels written down. You just pronounce vowels and they're written down. So you're supposed to kind of know how to pronounce stuff. So there's all those little dots and dashes, and therefore there's a lot of notes and a lot of really ancient copies of Hebrew. But that's just when they were starting to, Judaism was spreading. And like, we got to get out to Babylon. We got to go to the places and let people know how to read this stuff. So those little margins, if it'd be kind of fun to do more of a talk on that. They call them jots and tittles, just little things in the margins. Maybe there's an extra space behind a word, and that has meaning.
Right.
Maybe in this particular book of the Bible, in this chapter, they write one letter a little differently. That has meaning. It's just really interesting. So, mm-hmm. So I appreciate that you got into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you think of Hebrew poetry, and we read it in English, it's still beautiful in English. The thoughts are there. I think the translations are marvelous. But what are some things you think we're missing when we read it in English as opposed to Hebrew?
Well, I think our like the English mind, when it thinks of poetry, automatically it thinks, okay, well then it's gonna rhyme,
right?
Like that's like our first thought, I feel like, or like for a very novice level person like me who doesn't know poetry that well, like I just think, oh, like it's gonna rhyme, and if we don't hear it rhyme, then it's hard for us to pick out the poeticness of it.
Yeah.
But you've talked about this a lot. I know this is something you love about the language itself, but I think it is connected to poetry and like word choice and stuff is the like physicality of the language of Hebrew.
Yeah.
But then I think you like the way that, like, for example, this psalm that you're going to be preaching on,
mm-hmm.
like, talks about real like situations, like being in underwater or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's a kind of like tangible, very descriptive physical like tool or something that the Hebrew uses really, really well, which I think is cool. But in general, I'm not, I wouldn't consider myself somebody who knows a lot about like the specifics of Hebrew poetry. So like, it's been a learning experience for me.
As I'm
doing this, you know, I'm like teaching the people what I'm learning the week before.
Well, there's no better way to learn than to teach. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. But you hit on some really important things in your reading about the language itself.
Right.
And like you said, the physicality of it is really important. And I think because it's a physical language, it kind of invites you to experience it. And I think this week when I was working on mine, I had to kind of sit and read through some things and kind of shut my eyes and picture the scenario and it kind of helped me understand. That's a good way to read. Hebrew poetry is with your eyes closed. Right. That's not what I mean. What I mean is you read it and then shut your eyes and try to imagine the situation.
Well, and that brings up something I thought about talking a little bit. There was so much else I could have talked about.
Well, yeah, get into that, man. You're right. I could tell you were like, You were mining in the depths of parts of it, but you can tell like every now, like it's almost like you're looking over your shoulder, like, oh, there's this big mountain of stuff I want to dig into right over here. So tell us about that.
So we talked about how it's an acrostic, but we didn't, I don't even know if I really mentioned this, but the historical marker at the beginning of the poem not being given a verse number in the English language, but it has a verse number in Hebrew. And like that happens in your poem.
It does, which is so interesting.
I wanted to at least mention that. And then what you made me think of is like listening to it with your eyes closed or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the fact that this is all written down in a way that is designed to be spoken and listened to.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You like, see, that's
like the
huge.
Average like person during David's time doesn't just have a bunch of scrolls laying around their house. You know,
right.
They learn the scriptures by hearing them and
by
speaking them. And so these poetic devices like are helpful for memorization too, just like on a practical sense.
Mnemonic devices?
Right.
Mnemonic devices. Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the mnemonic devices we used to learn, you know, when learning Hebrew.
Oh, gosh.
You know,
yeah.
And
there's always like a song.
There was just like a connected word. I'll never forget. This is a terrible one, but it was I remember learning the word tent in Hebrew is ohel.
Uh-huh.
Ohel. And I thought, man, sometimes you make some exclamations when you're setting up a tent, you know. That's how I remember what tent is in Hebrew.
But just in general, I guess, kind of like wrapping up my thoughts on last week, it was one of those weeks where it was kind of a unique prepping experience, like trying to prep a sermon in the middle of EBS. Getting to the point where I was excited to kind of get down to like the what felt to me like the some of the nuts and bolts of like the existence that we live in, you know, like that creation is good and creation got distorted a little bit and a lot of it, and that God is putting all back together, you know. That the simplicity of that, but also like kind of the essentialness of that and kind of the mind blowingness of that all just made me excited to preach a sermon like that. So
it was great. It was great. Now, because this is called How the Sausage is Made, and this is getting behind the scenes.
Yeah.
If you could share a little bit, what was different about your sermon? Not just because of VBS. You can share the VBS. That's also reality of prepping sermons. There's times in a pastor's week when you're like, I gotta figure out when I got 15 minutes here and 10 minutes here and 20. I can't just sit down and do a cohesive thing. I gotta push something together for a sermon. But I mean, you just talked about it was a little different prep week for you. Talk to me about that a little bit. But share a little bit with everybody else, because I think that's important for people to hear that not every week is a cookie cutter. And you'll get that question, what's your sermon preparation like? And it's like, well, tell me what week we're talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. But what was different about it, and what were you excited about? What was more challenging? Just kind of give me some of that.
Well, one thing that was a little different was I was able to look ahead a little bit more than I normally do. So I was doing a lot of study, you know, the week before, which usually I don't start until like the Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was able to look ahead a little bit more, which like kind of led me to just slow down and kind of spend some more time studying things that I hadn't, you know, taken the time to in previous sermons. Like I spent a lot more time just in the Hebrew this
past week
than I normally would. And I spent a ton of time in like 1 Samuel, just reading through what David was going through, you know, as he's writing the story, like all the running around.
It's such a bizarre story too.
Yeah. So like that was kind of a cool part of it. That was like a blessing part of it. And then once I felt like I understood the context, the whole sermon was about just the context of the psalm, you know.
Yeah.
We really didn't get into the real like content of the psalm hardly at all, which I don't even know like if people really noticed that. We looked at like 2 verses, I think, of the psalm.
But it's really funny to me because you got to read it a real in-depth Hebrew study. You studied it, which is always profitable. It's always profitable to study. It's always profitable to get into the languages. But it is ironic. And I think good on you for following where the Holy Spirit was leading you to go,
right?
Because the temptation is, dang, I put so much time into the Hebrew. We're going to talk through all the Hebrew
right.
today. You know, we're going to rail on the, just get into the, what I've spent all this time on. But you spent a bunch of time on it, which led you to a deeper understanding, which also then led you to say, you know what? I probably have to go look somewhere else.
Right.
You know, in the Bible, you know, like you need to go to like, being like the New York Times or something, you know, I mean, we're going to go to the Bible. But I think that, I mean, that's a mark of a faithful preacher to say, I'm not going to be married to this thing that I thought I was going one direction. I put a ton of time into this, but God's leading me somewhere else. So I'm just going to be your servant and follow. That's really cool, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I appreciate you saying that. But yeah, overall, just like, some intangible things I can't quite put into words, like why everything was different, other than like some of the practical stuff. Like usually I'll kind of try to chip away a little bit each day, you know, throughout the week, but saving all like most of my prep for basically 2 pockets of time throughout the week, you know, and like forcing myself to just not do anything in between and like kind of take a breather. So instead of kind of like piecing my way through it or slowly chipping away at it, it was like I had basically 2 like kind of longer chunks of time throughout the week that those were my 2.
Okay. Kind of like,
God, you have to, you know, use that time to make a sermon.
Pastors, you know? Pray fervently. Dear Lord, please use this time.
Right. Yeah. So, with that being said, kind of thinking forward to this week, I'm curious where you're at with your sermon prep right now and in the midst of like however you want to kind of reflect on the week.
Yeah.
Because you're getting ready for we've got our voters meeting coming up.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's still plenty of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Other things kind of occupying your mental space and everything.
There's a lot going on.
So kind of give us a little insight into what's the psalm that we're meditating on. What's been sticking out to you? What are you chewing on? And where are you at with your prep right now?
Yeah, appreciate that, man. First off, a lot of my prep was done. Initial prep was done the previous week. I flew out to California for my mom's 80th birthday and to help them get ready to move and stuff. So
yeah.
I did a lot of prep on a plane, which is, we don't have that little fold down table,
right?
You know, because I'm definitely flying premium economy, not even that, just economy, and I'm premium economy. So you're kind of like your knees are in the seat in front of you, and you got your little tray table down. You're trying to crank away, but the psalm I'm working on is Psalm 42, which is there's two big phrases that people have heard. One that's really popular is "as a deer pants for the water," or if you've sang the song "as a deer panteth for the water," you know. If you're in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is just an interesting phrase. It's kind of nebulous. It's very rabbinic in that regard. Like, yeah, it involves interpretation. But another one is "deep calls to deep." I talk about both these a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit. But those are just kind of 2 of the phrases that stick out from that.
Mm-hmm.
Passage. I sent the passage up to the congregation last night.
Nice.
So hopefully people have a chance to read it. The interesting thing is that Psalm 42 you know, it has a superscription like we talked about from last week with Abimelech and all this stuff.
Right.
Psalm 42 has a subscription. Psalm 43 does not have a superscription. And really, Psalm 43, most people think it's kind of mystified as to why those are broken down. And so Psalm 43 is kind of the continuation of Psalm 42. Hmm. And they really could go together just for length's sake. I'm just keeping it to Psalm 42.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've been, the theme is there's five books of the Psalms. Basically, Psalms broken down to five books, very subtly broken down to five books. This one is broken down. We're starting book, so literally the beginning of what they call book two.
Right.
So there's a lot of parallels I'm going to make to the book of Exodus.
Cool.
And a lot of parallels I'm making to how this psalm is fulfilled in Jesus. And the way we're approaching the psalm is the psalm is the superscription, and it's to the choir master, and then it says a maskil, I'll talk about that, of the sons of Korah. And we have some fun stuff to talk about with Korah, but the main thing I want to talk about right now is it's a maskil. But a maskil is like, you're supposed to learn this song because it teaches you how to live a faithful life.
Okay.
So it's not just the recording. It's not just a lament, right, although there's lots of lamentation in it because he's, but like when you look deep inside and you're filled with grief or you're filled with pain or you're filled with fear, when you're looking deep inside, what do you do with that?
Hmm.
When you find that it's tough.
Wow.
And it's in this psalm is just saying, I think the point is the choir master is supposed to teach to the choir who teaches to the congregation. So the congregation go home and sing it over and over and over again.
Man.
And learn how to deal with the realities of life.
Dang. And just hearing you like reflect on that, which we haven't even got like into much of the real content of the actual psalm itself, but just the way it's used, the reason or how it, the purpose for which it was written, makes me so thankful. Like, that we're doing this right now, like,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, it makes me thankful that we're spending time in this book of the scriptures.
Because I think,
and like, what's been happening for me personally is like, I think it's been doing that. It's been like teaching me, like almost like a devotional, like a rhythm or something.
Yeah.
Kind of like establishing something, or kind of like revealing to me like, oh, here's like just a way to be kind of like how to live out like my devotional life maybe. And I love that. And I was curious, have you looked into any, cause in this superscription, it gives us, you know, it's a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it tells us specifically the tune of the song in the superscription, doesn't it? It says like to the tune of
not this one.
Or am I thinking of a different
song? You're thinking of a different song.
Okay.
It's not this one.
Okay, I must be thinking of I might be thinking of mine for next week. So
yeah, it's the three blind mice.
So, yeah, you're not gonna make up a melody.
That's right. That's right. I'm not really preaching. I'm just gonna sing. I'm gonna sing my own song. I think you'll like what I've done with it.
Right.
That when one of these is music, there's some like popular kind of like Hebrew rock bands that sing in Hebrew and sing the Psalms in Hebrew.
Oh,
like,
my,
and I'll have to send some of that stuff out. This one is just kind of say who, like what basically what it is, who it's to. It's to the choir master. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get the purpose of it.
Gotcha.
And then it's to who it is. You know, what's the purpose of it? It's a teaching psalm. And then kind of who's it from? And it's from the sons of Korah, who are descendants of Levi. And
gotcha.
We'll get into Korah a little more. I think you're going to, I don't want to give too much away because it's going to be kind of fun to dive into it, but we'll start off right away with talking about Korah. This guy. Yeah. So no, it's good. I think there's just kind of this refrain that has two aspects to it. One is, why are you downcast on my soul?
Mm-hmm.
So just acknowledging that you're downcast. And the other one is, I put your hope in God. He is my salvation. You know, my God, my rock is my salvation. And so, and there's a ton of connections in this one. It's just been fun. A ton of connections that are like undeniably callbacks to the book of Exodus.
Yeah.
One of them is interesting. The second book, there's two names for God. One is the specific name for God, the proper name for God, which is Yahweh, which is I am. Then there's a more general term for God, which is Elohim. And this second book is, I will talk a little bit about it, is known as the Elohim. It's the Elohim book because it still uses Yahweh, but the main word becomes Elohim. And then after this book, it goes back to switching to Yahweh as the main word. And there's a ton of mystery behind that. There's a ton of scholarship behind that. I think that the Elohim is the tie-in for the reader to understand this is Exodus, because in Exodus, when God gives the words to Moses, tells Moses what the Ten Commandments are, the word that's used there, and not to creation and judgment, the word is Elohim. Elohim is used. So I think it's just a callback. When you say that to a Jewish person who knows the scriptures and you use Elohim, it's like, kind of like they kind of sit up a little bit. What's going on here? Right. And then they think of, you know, the giving of the law.
Man.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah. So that's my theory. Yeah. I have not had anybody stop me in the street and ask me my theory on Elohim versus Yahweh this morning yet. So,
hey, it's still early.
We got some time left. Yes. If any of you stop me, just stop me and say, I'm just curious, Pastor, what's your take on Elohim versus Yahweh?
That would make Pastor Matt feel really good if you guys did that.
So it would make me feel very, very good. Yeah, that's right. So we'll have to have a long discussion about that. But no, that's, I'm looking forward to preaching. And of course, it all ties back into Jesus. And I think that's, you set the tone for that day one with Psalm 1, and
yeah,
we know we're trying to continue that. These things are all fulfilled in Christ. So.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. How about we, let's say a quick prayer for you.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Lord, thank you so much that you reveal yourself to us through your word, and that you've been faithful through your servants throughout history to pass on the reality, the truths of who you are and who we are as your people, and how we get to respond to our circumstances in life faithfully. And Lord, while Pastor Matt is pondering and chewing on and wrestling through the words and implications of Psalm 42, Lord, speak to him, continue to solidify your message in his mind and in his heart, that this weekend you put your words on his lips, and bless the congregation. Give us a heart to continue to dive into your word and take this opportunity this summer seriously to meditate on the Psalms together. Prepare us for this weekend. Open up our ears, open up our minds and hearts to receive your goodness and your message of love, your message of redemption. To us through Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we lift these things to you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Take care, St. Angel. See you this weekend.
Bye, guys.